Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6 are probably two of the most cherished verses in all the Bible. In fact, when you look at the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are probably two of the most memorized verses in all the Bible. And just as that song there that the team sang for us and they did such a marvelous job on, it reminds us just of that great basic truth that we must have this trust in the Lord that is bigger and more profound than anything else in our lives. And you know, really it's interesting. This week I've been thinking about our youth. I've been thinking about our students. And they've really been on my heart and my mind. And really, when I think about the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is very much written. It's written to all of us, but it's directly even addresses and says, hey, youth, listen to us. Listen to these words of wisdom. And I just got to thinking about, you know, the different international events that have kind of defined the younger generation in this room today. I think about how there's a generation among us, folks, they really don't know what the world's like except with an idea of what happened on September 11, 2001. They don't know what it's like to go through an airport and not to go through the screening process. Then I thought about what they kind of call the Great Recession now, how we have students who maybe even graduate from college, some of them, and they have a hard time finding a job because of the economic climate that's out there. And then finally, I thought about the event that we were told about by the president Sunday night, the killing of Osama bin Laden. I mean, there's a generation among us that their whole lives they have lived with this reality. Our military, our government looking and hunting for this man, and probably had come to the point in their young lives where they wondered, well, he'll probably never get caught. Three defining international events. And then I just thought about the interpersonal events that occur in their lives that they have to deal with and that grip them. And I kind of hit with this question that I think all of us, no matter what our age or what our situation, have to deal with. How do we make sense of this crazy world in which we find ourselves? How do we make sense of this crazy, crazy world? And I didn't realize until late Friday afternoon in my own personal life how I was going to so not pay attention to God's word in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and verses 6. See, some of you may not realize this. Friday's kind of a flex day for me. Our office is closed here. The offices are. So I usually kind of work, review the sermon, kind of do some seeking the Lord on what he would have me be preaching and in different leadership situations in our church family. So I kind of work from home on Friday. And my wife's a middle school teacher. And usually our four-year-old kind of hangs out with me and it's some real awesome time there. Well, usually around 3:30 in the afternoon, what we do is the two of us, we go and we pick up the 9-year-old Mark from his school so he doesn't have to ride the bus. It's kind of a special treat. So I'll swing down to school, pick him up. Well, what Jen and I did, Jen is the 4-year-old, we about 3:30, I grab my wallet, my cell phone, we head out through the garage door, head outside, slam the door behind us. We're in the middle of the garage, heading to the van, and all of a sudden I realize, where's my keys? I don't have my car keys with me. They are locked in the house. And the door is shut. And you may not realize this either, that we moved about a year ago to a different house. And within this past year, we had failed to put an extra key anywhere outside. And so for about the next 30 seconds, I just kind of staggered around wondering, okay, what am I going to do? And I began to think, fine, I call my wife on the cell phone and talk to her for a few seconds. And then I say, okay, I know what I'm going to do. Because then it dawns on me, I'm in the garage. You know what else is in the garage, guys? Tools. Tools are in the garage. So I walk over to my toolbox, and I grab two of the biggest hammers that I have. I actually walked out in the backyard, and I looked there, and I did check a few windows, in case you think I am an absolute idiot. I did check a few windows, and they were all locked securely tight. And then I looked at the door. We have a door out back. Okay, that's glass. I could break through that. I got to get in there and get these car keys. It's now 3:35. He's expecting me there at 3:45. You know what's this? And I'm just thinking, man, my son's going to be there, and he's going to wonder what's going on, and it's just going to be a bad deal. And so all of a sudden, I walk back into the garage, and there is the door to the kitchen. And I take that big hammer, and I didn't tell the first two services because it was embarrassing enough, but actually what I did first, I actually railed back, Steve, kind of like you guys probably do in your line of work, and I was going to give that door, I was going to kick it in, man, and It didn't budge. And I did hurt my leg though. And so I back off. So I picked that hammer up, and I tell you what, guys, what did I do, man? I was gonna get those keys so I could get down there and I could get my son. I reel back and I just start hammering away on the doorknob. I just start beating the daylights out of it. Crunch. Jenna, now I've told her, go ride your bike, do something. Daddy's got to figure this out. She's now out there talking to the neighbor who's walking her dog saying, Daddy's got a hammer and he's breaking off the twister. That's what she calls the door handle, the twister. He's going to break the door. He's going to get in the house. I'm like, hey, get back in the garage here. Quit telling the neighbors what I'm doing. And I'm sitting there and I'm just breaking. About then the phone rings again and it's my wife. I'm thinking, I am busy. I'm trying to get in there to get these keys. I'm breaking the door down. She gets on the phone. She says, listen, I just called the school. I told them I'd be there in about 15 minutes, all right? That sounds like a good idea, hon. All right. I'll see you when you get home. By 4:05 that afternoon, she was home with Mark. I was on my way to Lowe's to buy a new doorknob. You know, I just think back to the four-year-old's face as I'm beating on the door there. Her face was just like, you know, like this. And she's in the van with me going over to Lowe's. And all she said the whole trip over to Lowe's was this from her car seat. Dad, I love you. She's thinking, what is going on with this crazy man? You see, what I never even thought about Friday afternoon was trusting the Lord. Lord, help me to think sensibly about this. Lord, help me to act in a way. Lord, what would be your answer to this? And I know a lot of y'all probably have advice for me after the service and all this and that. But, you know, bottom line, hey, listen, we've got more of it figured out now, okay? We had a good laugh about it that evening and have figured out some places to put a few extra keys, by the way, all right? But it's an example of how sometimes guys, you know, we're just like, you know what? I've got to take care of this. I'm going to figure it out. And what do? Man, we just end up causing more harm than good. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 teach us the lesson that we've got to understand before the rest of Proverbs will sync up for us. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make straight your paths. You see, really there's two parts there I want you to see. And really it's a very simple proverb, but yet it is very, very profound and is foundational for life. Here's our part. There's really our part and there's God's part, y'all. Our part is this. We must totally trust in the Lord. When I think about mothers on this day, I think about the stuff and the weight upon your shoulders. And I tell you what, if there's a verse I would want to encourage you with and bless you with is to say this. You can trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Our part is total trust in the Lord. You know, listen, we trust every day, and we trust in all kinds of things and people. I mean, you know, you're flying into the airport. You know what you're trusting? And you're trusting in the air traffic controllers. You go to the pharmacist, you're trusting that the pharmacist is going to put your medication together like the doctor prescribed. You go eat at McDonald's this afternoon after church, you're trusting that 16-year-old putting your hamburger together isn't doing something to it. You live your life trusting all the time. And here, Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord. It's really the idea of leaning on, being confident in. It originally meant this, to lay helplessly face down. I pictured this, kind of like off like the cop shows or whatever. It's the picture. When that SWAT team comes in, they just don't say, put your hands up. What do they say? They say, you get on the floor, you get on your face right now. The word was used for when a soldier would lay down on the ground, spread eagle before a conquering general in surrender. That's trust. Our part, totally trusting in the Lord. The idea of trust appears several times in the book of Proverbs. I'm just going to rattle some places off very quickly. I'll go so fast you may not be able to write them down. You might catch one or two. You can study it on your own. Chapter 16, verse 20. Chapter 22, verse 19. Chapter 28, verse 25. Chapter 29, verse 25. Chapter 30, verse 5. It's all over Proverbs. It's all over the book of Psalms. You want to read a psalm about trusting the Lord? Chapter 37, Psalm 37. Trusting the Lord is all in the Bible, but I got a question. why? Hey, why should I trust the Lord? You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what I've been through this week. Why should I trust in the Lord? You know what? All I would encourage you to do is think about the Lord. Consider the Lord. I wrote down some thoughts about the Lord. I wrote down the goodness of God. The goodness of God. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that every good and perfect gift is from Him. Psalm 31, verse 19 praises the goodness of God. Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. The goodness of God, the sovereignty of God. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me there is no God. He asked, who is like me? There is no rock, I know not any. The sovereignty of God, the holiness of God. The angels cried out in Isaiah's vision in chapter 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And then the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. You know, God never, ever forgets His keys. God never, ever locks Himself out. God never, ever has a thought have to occur to Him. God never has to call anybody and say, hey, listen, what should I do about this situation? He always knows exactly what He's going to do. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Hey, who has been His counselor? But you know what we wrestle with in this crazy world? We wrestle with the justice of God, don't we? We wrestle with the justice of God. It's one thing as I get older, I begin to have thoughts that I imagine older people have. If you've got a little bit of age on you, a few miles on the tires, have you ever had thoughts like I've had? Oh, I've heard everything now. I mean, wow, man, now I've seen it all. You know, Solomon wrote a thought similar to that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 15. In my vain life I've seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. I've observed something in my life. Sometimes I'll see older folks, they kind of tend to lean one way or another. One is they kind of lean towards a very pessimistic, almost kind of bitter outlook on life. This world is just messed up, and there's not a clue going on here. There's no hope for anybody. It's just, oh, I expected that to happen. And then I'll meet folks, they've got some years on them, and they have this outlook on life. Well, you know what? God's been good to me. God has worked in my life. God's been better to me than I deserve. I've got faith in the Lord and what He's going to do. Different outlook. Let me tell you what the Bible says about the justice of God. Psalm 97, clouds and thick darkness are all around Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. There are some things in this life that aren't going to make sense. But the Bible tells us that there comes a judgment. The Bible tells us that God, in the end, He works things out to be right. There is the justice of God. And when I think about the ultimate injustice, I can't help but think about what happened to God's own Son. And that makes me think about the love of God. I'll just give you one verse of so many. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then, of course, the faithfulness of God. Lamentations in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. You know that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. You notice how at the end it just seems like we're just singing the same thing over and over and over again. Like the same phrase, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's like we just sing it over and over and over again. And some of us, we might get kind of, you know, like, you know, irritated. Like, well, why are we singing that over and over and over and over again? Listen, you know what? It hit me. It hit me just standing over there during that song as I was listening to y'all singing over and over and over and over again. I was like, here's a thought, Lord. We need to hear that over and over again. We throughout our lives, over and over and over again, when stuff happens to us that isn't right, when stuff happens to other people that doesn't make sense, we're going to have to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Luther said to Erasmus, Luther said this to Erasmus. He said, your thoughts of God are too human, Erasmus. J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, wrote, our thoughts of God are not great enough. His limitless wisdom and power. Why? Because we ourselves are limited and weak, and we imagine at some points God is too. Our part, totally trusting in the Lord. The Bible says here in verse 5, with your whole heart. That's total trust. James chapter 1 warns us, don't be double-minded. Double-mindedness is not trusting the Lord with all your heart, not totally depending on Him. Understand this, half-hearted faith is whole-hearted doubt. Total trust. Scotty, come here for a sec. Scott, come here, yeah. I want you to help me with something. I got here, you've been wondering about this. My wife was wondering too when she came to the 9:30. She says, what do you got the blow-up mattress at the church for on stage? Here, I want to illustrate something to you, because really in the Bible, I want you to understand trust, all right? This guy's going to help me. Trust in the Bible is the picture of totally resting in the Lord. I just want you just to sit on the bed, all right? Just sit on it, all right? All right? Now listen, you can't really rest that way, can you? You can't really, really sleep well sitting up like that, can you? No, now, Scott, I want you to do something. You got my permission to do this, all right? I want you just to make yourself comfortable on that bed, all right? There you go. Just kick back, son. There you go. Now, I tell you what. Now, some of you wish you could listen to the sermon the whole time like that, don't you? Just kick back and you could be more comfortable sleeping during it. You see, and it's just, see, he's sitting there and he's just chilling, man. He's relaxed. What I find is so ironic is this, is oftentimes when I realize that I'm not trusting the Lord, you know where I am? I'm lying awake on the bed. I'm lying awake on the bed. The thoughts racing through your mind. I want you to remember something today, folks. That is the picture of total trust in the Lord. It is resting in His goodness, in His wisdom, in His sovereignty, in His justice. Total, total trust. Thank you, Scotty. Would y'all show your appreciation to my friend here? Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Total trust. I want you to get this. You see, the proverb says total trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But then it gives kind of a warning here. Don't trust. Don't lean on your own understanding. You see, here's how to understand trusting the Lord. You see what we do? We trust our logic sometimes more than we trust the Lord. Understand this. Trust the Lord more than your logic. That word there, understanding, it's the idea of your own intellect. You see, what I have in my human nature is this, is I want to use my five senses to try to figure out life. And what do I do sometimes? If I'm not careful, I'll leave God out of the picture. God gives you a brain to think with, but remember who gave you your brain, all right? Trust the Lord more than your logic. Psalm 25, verse 9, He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. Trust the Lord more than your logic. Lean not on your own understanding. And then verse 6, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. He will direct your paths. He will straighten things out as you walk along. In all your ways, circle the word all there, or remember that, all your ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge means to recognize His lordship, His governance, your need for Him in your life, all. So you see, I need to trust the Lord with all of my life. I need to trust the Lord more than my logic, and I need to trust the Lord more than my life. Because you see, understand this when it comes to logic. The Lord is more than just logical. That's what has gotten many folks into trouble. In fact, you know, I'm teaching through different belief systems and even different world religions and different cults and stuff on Wednesday night right now. And what I find kind of running through a lot of them is through a lot of them there actually is an attempt to make everything logical. Sometimes we get into trouble when we want everything about this crazy world to make sense in our brains. You see, there are sometimes things about the Lord that we don't understand. They are beyond our understanding. It's like the Trinity. You know, the Trinity is something that really, really, if you're talking to a Muslim, for instance, the Trinity, they don't like that. They don't understand that. They think we worship three gods. Understand this about the Trinity. You know, there's a lot of you guys that we wrestle with understanding the Trinity. Doesn't totally, you know, three and one is three. I mean, that just breaks the rules of like first grade math. But I never forget what Pastor Rogers said. Adrian Rogers, try to define the Trinity and you'll lose your mind. Deny the Trinity and you'll lose your soul. There's some things about God that are just way bigger than my brain, all right? So trust Him more than logic and trust Him with all of your life. Don't put up a no trespassing sign on a certain part of your life. See, that's what we'll do sometimes. We kind of compartmentalize our lives and say, God, listen, you help me with this, but I got this covered over here. I don't need you there. Don't think anything in your life is too small when it comes to trusting the Lord, when it comes to Him in your life. A lady once walked up to the great English preacher, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. She asked him, she said, Dr. Morgan, I just think there are some things in my life that are too small for the Lord to be concerned with. And you know what he said to her? He said, Dear madam, do you think that there is anything in your life that is big to God? I'm telling you, folks, trust Him with all of it. He desires to guide every step of your life. He desires to guide every movement of your hand, every thought in your mind, every feeling in your heart, every minute of my life. He wants to guide it. He wants me to trust Him with it. Really, you have to take a big step, and this step is faith. I read a quote that actually Martin Luther King Jr. said, and it makes a great statement about faith. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Folks, I'm talking about total trust in the Lord. So that's our part. But then I want you to see God's part. He says, the proverb says, He will make straight your paths. So our part is this total trust in the Lord. Here's God's part. He will take care of you. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. First of all, He gives direction in this life. I think it was on Wednesday, I was riding in the car with our student pastor, Mike Camiri. Mike Camiri has one of these like GPS deals. I think it's like called TomTom. I don't have one in my car. He sits there and he'll punch in the location. And we were leaving this particular location and coming back here. And it actually told us to go right. But we actually knew because now a median had been cut across there, a drive there, that we could drive across the median. We could just go left instead of going right and then making a U-turn. So he just cuts right across and turns left. I said, hey, man, what are you going to do? I mean, how's TomTom going to react when all of a sudden he realizes you're not going the way he told you? He's going to say, hey, listen, you want my help or not? You want me to give you directions or what? And he said, well, actually what happens is it recalibrates as you change direction. Understand this about God. God always gives you the right direction. He always gives you the right direction. How does God direct us in life? How does He see us through the intersections, the crossroads we come to? I just wrote down a few ways. First of all, He does it through His Word. He does it through Scripture. Never, ever take for granted the comfort and the wisdom of Scripture. And by the way, God's direction will never contradict God's instruction. You check out everything anybody tells you by the Word of God. That's why I encourage you, have your Bibles. That's why we try to show you Scripture. You check out what I'm saying. You check out what your friends, what others tell you. Also, I wrote down, you know, God speaks to us through our heart. Some would refer to it as a conscience or in your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that we now, as believers of Christ, we have the Spirit from God who is in us so that we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. See, understand, prayer is that two-way street. Now, understand, God's Spirit is never going to tell you something that is contradictory to His Word. So that's why I started with that one, all right? And then godly counsel. Godly counsel. A lot of Proverbs talks about godly counsel and having friendships and fellowship that will encourage you in the Lord. But you got to understand this about godly counsel. It has to be godly counsel. You can get encouragement from a prayer group, your small group, your Bible study group, but understand this. Divine guidance only comes when your counselor or your group is divinely guided. So see direction number one. Go back to His Word. It's interesting, in the Hebrew language, when you look there at the word straight, straighten your paths, direct, it's the idea of someone cutting through to make a road. I thought about our interstates being built here in the United States. And how, you know, I've been driving on interstates in certain parts of the country where they literally had a tunnel going through a mountain. Or they actually had cut through rock and put the road right through. It's the picture of God making a way for us. I came across this saying. I love the way it says it. When God is leading and you're following, mountains will melt, valleys will be filled, crooked places will be straightened, rough places will be smooth, doors will be open, walls will fall down. God will get you where He wants you to go. You see, when you and I, when we surrender our life to the Lord Jesus, when we're trusting Him day in and day out, totally trusting Him, you know, God is our Father. Jesus is our shepherd. The Spirit, the Bible says, is our teacher. Direction in life. And then finally, I want you to hear this, because I was struck when I was at the funeral service over at Clover Hill Assembly of God this week for young Avery. I was struck by the young man who preached a sermon, whether he realized it or not. And I was struck by how he talked about, you know, how they needed comfort and peace and hope and love. And man, he pointed the folks to Jesus. He did a wonderful Spirit-led job of that. And here's the thing, ultimately we wonder, Lord, we need direction in this life, and then ultimately, Lord, are You going to get us home? I want you to understand, when it talks about making straight our paths, it means in this life, God's going to give us direction in this life, but it also means this, He's going to get us home after this life. And you may be here today, and your Mother's Day's tough for you because you think about your loved one who's gone on from this life. Well, I'll tell you what trust in the Lord means. Faith in Jesus Christ means this, that straight away after this life, boom, He gets you home. He gets you home. No detours, no accidents. He gets you home. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, today, I hope as you read the book of Proverbs, as you're reading through the book of Proverbs, may each and every one of us remember that in this crazy world, when we can't get a handle on this life, total trust in Him means this. He takes care of us. He takes care of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Should you bow your heads with me in prayer? If your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I don't want this message to sound, you know, cutesy, or for some of us, we'll be like, that just almost sounds too simple. You just don't know how crazy and complicated my life is. Folks, I'm telling you, this is where smart, successful, wise living begins. It begins with trusting the Lord totally. 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 Sometimes the greatest lessons of life are actually the simplest. So I just want to pray God will give us the strength, the heart, the soul, to take Him at His word. And if you're here during this song, we're going to sing a closing song, and we're going to have some ministers down front. And if you would like us to pray with you, maybe you're not sure you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can just step out. You'll just step out from where you're standing and come forward, and we can pray with you. We can talk with you about the Lord. Maybe you feel led to become an official part of this church. You can come forward during the song too. We'll talk with you about that. Get your name and some info. And maybe you just want to come to kneel and pray. You maybe just want to